Right, there we go. We should be live right now. There we go. LDOT, what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Quality Time TV. Today I have my guest,
Yo.
DJ Fame. What's going on, brother? What's
Good
happening?
evening, sir. It feels weird to be sitting in one place, I'll be honest, but I'm happy for the show. What's going on, man? Congrats and all that stuff in between,
Oh, thank you. Nah. I know, 'cause you're always traveling somewhere. You're always on the move. Fame speed, right? That's what they call it.
So far, so good.
That's what's up, man. For those of you who don't know, DJ Fame from Brooklyn. He's worked on many stuff. One thing is he's great DJ, phenomenal DJ.
I do
And
okay.
nah. I've seen you spin before, man. One of my early days, and I was like, oh man, I got a
Since my
long way
early
to go. I was like, I think I came to help you set up for an event, and you were just like warming up, and I was like, all right, I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
think I'm trying to remember, aside the because I know it was the Sweet 16 I was doing, and that was like in Queens. That's the only one I can remember at the time right now.
Yeah, I think it was that. It was a Sweet 16. Yeah. But let's get started in some topics, because we only got an hour, but we got a
Yes.
lot of stuff to talk about. The first thing, LDOT, what's going on? Everybody, thank you for tuning in, by the way. I see all of you guys. It's going to be a great episode. Leave your thoughts, comments in.
Like back and forth from my phone. I'm so sorry to everybody, but what's going on?
What's up? What's up? What's happening? If you guys are just listening to some iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, whatever, thank you. I love you guys. So, first topic we got, let me pull this up real quick. Oh, man, I closed it. So, a few episodes ago, I was talking about the four pillars of hip hop, and I said
Okay.
that I believe that the four pillars of hip hop still exist in 2018. And we had a response from a very, very good friend of mine. And he said, first of all, he said that it was fake news. Then he responds by saying, "There's no my theory was that let me start from the beginning. My
Okay.
theory is that the four pillars still exist. DJing. I said that the DJs have now become the producers in a sense where the DJs, the producers are getting way more attention sometimes than the artists, as it was back in the day when you had Eric B and Rakim, you had Run DMC, you had the DJs running the show. They were more important. And nowadays, the producers, I feel like, are running the show. For example, we have Turbo, you got Metro Boomin. You think of Father Stretch My Hands Part One, "If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm gonna shoot you." That was the hottest part of the song. That's the part where everybody remembered. Now, second thing, MCs. We still have MCs. When you think about it, these kids are out here rocking crowds. They're out here moving. Kids are getting
Yes.
excited. We talk about art. I think that nowadays the art, when it comes to hip hop, is crazy. We have people doing music videos. We had Kanye create a video game a few years back. When you talk about art, or you just call it writing, whatever you want to do, even music videos, they have cartoons drawn in them now. I think that's pretty cool. And then dancing, I go on Instagram right now and I scroll through IG. I'm gonna see some kid dancing to some song that's out right now, to whatever their new style of dance is. We had that Block Boy JB do his start up his dance, and now
Yes.
Fortnite is stealing all these kids' dance, which is a
Yeah.
whole other
Oh,
topic.
don't even get me
So,
started with those events. Oh my gosh.
exactly. So, Rim says fake news. Then he goes, I said, "How so?" He said, "There's no substance. Most of the ish being released is repetitive. I like your comparisons, but I could say the same for other music. Controlling crowds? Question mark. Most hip hop shows now want to be rock shows. Starting mosh pits and producing a DJ are two totally different things. Art, well, the only ones putting out art in vids, I say, is Travis Scott, using him as the mainstream. Everyone else ish is on their block or in some strip club, who's I don't mind the visuals of a strip club and dancers. Everyone had their own style back then. Not everyone does the same dances. No originality, unless you look at those competition of b-boys. I'm saying it can be a new age of hip hop, but to compare it to the ish people were doing in the late 80s to early 2000s, nah." So, Fame, I want to get some of your thoughts and opinions. Do you think that the original four pillars of hip hop still exists in 2018?
Yes, it's just when we were speaking offline, it's just a lack of communication. That's all it really is. 'Cause the DJ was, to me, the foundation for the other pillars to, express themselves. It's just that all of a sudden I feel, and this, I guess this is me being biased, the rapper became big-headed. We don't need the DJ anymore. So others felt, okay, fudge it, and we'll go and do our own thing. the DJ is still there, but it's like, you know, how do we get back to you guys again if the rapper's like doing his own thing? And to me, it's frustrating. Absolutely frustrated when the rapper's like, yeah, I don't need him. I'll just put the track on. I'm fine, such and such, whatever. But it's the DJs that are, you know, creating these breaks, finding these breaks, giving you these, you know, these dope samples or beats to, you know, say anything on it. And going for the B-boys, for them to go out there and lose their minds and bust a move, and for the graffiti artists, trust me, they still exist as well, too.
Absolutely.
But no communication. That's the problem. But it's there. But it's absolutely there.
So, Instadrow, what's going on? Instadrow says, I think the industry helped that split, too. I'm guessing he's saying the split of... I'm not sure what you mean by that. Explain a little bit. But I think you're right. With the LDOT says that was a means of control, I think, if we stayed unified.
Well, right. And something that, as I call him, Uncle Joe... I'll explain that later who that person is, where small business became big business. They came into the hood and it was just like, oh, I hear the my voice. Small business becomes big business. You know, literally they came into the hood and they marketed it and just felt like, oh, you don't need this person. Here, we'll do it for you. And people got spoiled. And once again, people getting their feelings, envy, jealousy, all that stuff that comes with money. People don't know how to act. If you don't have it, of course you're going to act a particular way.
And Chill Trav actually says that. He says it sounds like DJ envy. I'm guessing he's saying that people, like you said, they got big heads. They were like, yo, I want to be the center of attention.
Right.
I want to be the one that people are paying attention to. It's not about the DJ. All you do is play music. And I feel like a lot of times people, and even now, you know, I'll do an event and that's how people look at you. It's like, oh, he's just a guy that plays music.
And it's sometimes, as I give advice to you, it's like you literally have to stamp your foot down when you're doing these events. Hey, DJ. Hey, DJ. My name is DJ Fame. I need you to remember that. Hence why we brand everything. Everything from my vinyl while I come out with why I come out with the turntables, you know, to your laptop when the whole marketing of a skin it, you know, the sticker that we put on it.
Yeah.
Hey, DJ, I have a name. It's like, imagine going to school. Your teacher's going, hey, kid. No, I have a name.
Yeah.
I was given a name. That's how you should address me. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100% agree with that. What else do we got in here? LDOT says, we got a lot of people in here today. What's going on? I see all of you guys. Fame, you still got the live stream loaded up?
Yeah. I have it on. I'm trying my best to focus on.
I know.
I'm looking down at my phone. It's horrible. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in right now. We are here, Quality Time TV show, man. It's happening. I'm very, very grateful.
Yeah. So, just going back real quick to everything beyond just the DJs and the MC, creativity. As far as, do you feel like the community of hip hop is the same? Do you think that it has changed because all this stuff went together? It's evolved. Oh, okay, there we go.
It's evolved. We can't say it's stagnant because that's always the ongoing once again, miscommunication with people who are, you know, consider themselves old school, like, oh, you know, the boom bap. And I get it. It couldn't have stayed there forever. Evolution. Everybody expresses themselves. You know, hip hop, the word itself, that means expression. Then it breaks down to the rapping, then, you know, the dancing and the graffiti and the DJing. But hip hop is the expression. And people tend to forget that, like, oh, that's not hip hop. Dude. We're talking about in the Bronx, they had I didn't live in the Bronx. I wasn't there. This is what I'm being taught by, you know, the pillars that's in this business for quite some time. And nothing to something. That's always another phrase for me and stuff like that. They had nothing. We have everything.
Yeah.
They had nothing. And to build it to what it is now. You know, everything from how we cue the records, like we unconsciously, I unconsciously played and spin back a record because that's how I heard it and that's how I figured it out.
Yeah.
But once again, a particular individual, he explains the theory, just like how somebody, you know, the first rapper explains how he built the bars and the dance of how you would, you know, I spin on my hands instead of spinning on such and such. There are ways to this. You know what I'm saying? If you understand what I'm trying to tell you now.
Absolutely. Because you're saying that hip hop wasn't just... what happened then? It was how you expressed yourself. It was how you put everything together and how you executed it.
Over time, we evolve.
Exactly. And that's what my point was originally when I said that it still exists. People's expressions is still the same. We still got the, but instead, I feel like I'm a fan of the mumble rappers, as people will call them. I'm a fan of them.
Back and forth.
I enjoy them because I feel like their expression is different than how it was 10 years ago. The way how they, certain things that they say, certain things that they do. But then you think about hip hop 10 years ago and how my parents would look at hip hop 10 years ago. I remember my dad was listening to Slow Jams by Kanye. And he says, why is Kanye, why is this man rapping so fast? And I said, what?
Right.
But you know, he's Jamaican. So he's used to hearing like a Barris Hammond, Barrington Levy.
No,
those 80 BPM vibes.
Right. You know, my whole thing is just what we're able to process over time, because trust me, like the fast rappers, like we're talking about Bone Thugs and Harmony, I'm always forgetting his name, and I appreciate his work, Twista, you know, and there's a couple of other individuals who can, you know, rap that fast, and it's unique, you know, to and still, what's the word I'm looking for? Articulate yourself, you know, it still sounds clear. Instead of just, no, I hear every word,
every syllable.
Over time, we're able to think faster. Hence why it picked up over time compared to, you know, how the rap was once upon a time, not long ago. And we're like, right. Yeah. We get it, but it evolved, man. And you just gotta be with it or not, I guess. Like,
there's some good points in the chat too, by the way. I just lost it. I don't know if you could scroll back up, Fame, but Trav had a really, really good point. I just lost it. Sorry, Trav. I just accidentally left the chat for a second, but there were some really good points in there.
There's a lot going on. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. What's going on, man?
And DJ Bamboo says, today artists are very emotional. I mean, that's
shout out to Bamboo. What's going on?
I feel like every artist is emotional. Like, whether it be from anger, whether it be from hate, whether it be from joy. Love, yeah, right. You know, I feel like you need to have emotion to be a great artist, no matter what style of music it is.
It's the frustration on why everything sounds, and this is just my opinion. It's the frustration where you're trying to figure out from outside the box, why is that song working? Why is that working? That's all we're trying to figure out. So some people feel like, all right, let me conform. I'm going to conform now. So I'm going to just talk about, and I'm telling you, I've been in studios earlier in my career where they're talking about like Mary had a little lamb had a gack. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not making this stuff up. And
that's quite the transition.
I told myself, that's not going to sell. What is your problem? You've never seen a gun in your life. I don't wish you to see a gun in your life, you know, and you're talking about it as if like, yeah, we do this every day. It's not the 60s, 70s, or 80s anymore. We're here now. And they just feel like, well, that's what they're talking about. I'm going to do it too. And then okay, let me use the analogy, almost in the sense of, okay, there's so many rappers, right? Just like how there's so many football players. Because this is the reason why I see a lot of people get upset, not to get off the topic too much. In a sense of, you know, for like basketball players, you start playing basketball high school, make it to college, and then you have to understand it's only New York City, right? So like, say you're playing for Hofstra, right? But there's other colleges in the New York tri-state area. You're not the only college, right? Now to go professional, you got to go across all 50 states, including yours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it gets thinner. What makes you dope? What makes you different from the other? Because they're all professional. They're all the A-list or S-list for their state.
What's your unique selling point?
What is it?
Yeah. And I think that even goes to DJs as well. You know, like what is your unique selling point? Just to go back real quick. Chill Trav says that it's the drugs is what he's saying is why he's saying it evolved. It's because of the drugs. Bamboo says true, but within the emotions you hear and feel the story. Flea Mason, what's going on? He was one of the co-hosts last week. He said emotion is what makes the music.
What's up, sir?
I could tell if that artist's pain is real or not. And that's true. If you even remember 50 Cent, when they did Get Rich or Die Trying movie, and they were like, yo, we can hear the pain in your voice now.
Yeah.
You know, like
sometimes. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and even with that YNW Melly song that I was telling you before when we were off air, I felt that song. I felt the emotion. I never been to jail and like had to like tell my mom don't cry, but it's just when you hear him singing like that on a song, you're like, wow,
you go,
like
oh,
this
right.
is deep. Like I feel like I know your story. Like I'm actually, and that's one of the reasons people listen to music. I want to know the story. I want to vibe out.
There was a point in time. Even there was even a generation where people just brag about what they got. And they bragged about it so hard, you know? They really, really did. And you was like, dang, that'd be nice if I could do that. Or imagine if I had this much money. I mean, me, I like to keep it simple. I do enjoy the storytelling. For me to sit there and listen to I Got a Story to Tell by Biggie. And I'm like, you can literally, for me, picture yourself, put the headphones on, close your eyes, and picture yourself being this person telling somebody a story. It starts there, then he takes you, I was messing with this chick to find out she was messing with this. And I see it, the whole thing, just visual, like, wow, that is crazy. For you to have that mental capacity, that wordplay, no way.
And I feel
I
like,
find that very fascinating.
and it absolutely is. As human beings, we love stories. Once
Oh,
somebody
yeah.
says, yo, you'll never believe what happened, or yo, hold on, let me tell you about this time,
Let me tell you
automatically
something.
we lock in. And you know, speaking of stories, I want to get into something.
Okay.
Something that you worked on. You were a DJ consultant for The Get Down, right? On
Yes, so
Netflix.
was. Yes.
First off, you gotta tell us about that, man. Like that show. When I saw the trailer for that show, I was just blown away. I was like, this is amazing. This is a, and that was from the trailer. But
Yeah,
how?
no.
What was that experience like?
It was fun. I'm gonna be honest. It was. I mean, there's a personal side of me that was super frustrating because just being on standby, just to wait. Like I spend a whole day. I noticed that I'm not really built just to be on set and do nothing all day. But at the same time, the business perspective, and I learned a lot. It was very a lot. You know, as I'm like jumbled words because you got me really thinking about it right now. But it was a lot of fun. All the actors, even from Jaden Smith. To I always something what's his something more I'm forgetting his name right now, dope, very very humble individuals, everybody that the staff, anybody who did lighting and whatnot, very very cool people, Boz Furman, like wonderful wonderful people, man, and I was just great to be a part of it. The music to captivate, because for those who have not watched it, it's on Netflix. Shameless plug. Get Down. And pretty much it's a story. And you know, with fictional characters, but the events that happen within the story actually happen in the Bronx within this time frame, just to show you the birth of hip hop. And of course, you know, and you know, explaining the four elements. I mean, sure, it was through the eyes of these kids. And as you find, I mean, you really, really get captivated into the story being told.
Absolutely, 100%. Like the season one, I watched the whole season. I watched the whole season in a day. I'm not
Oh,
gonna lie to
you're
you.
better than me,
I
because
sat
I
there and
was
watched
running
that whole
around.
thing in a
I
day.
found myself watching the first episode maybe three times. That's
Oh,
how one. That's how good it was. And
yeah.
I found myself going, "You didn't watch it? No. Come. You gotta." And
I did that too, though. I
would
did.
literally sit down. Would be right in his basement. I had like about four or five people. Like, no, chill. Grab your food. We're watching this. Y'all need to understand this and make them fans. And you know. For them to spread the word on, like, yo, not only because I was a part of it in my own way, but I feel this is information that needs to be told. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So real quick, let's just go to the chat, because we got a lot of people in here.
Yeah, I see
Yeah,
everybody.
thank you everybody again for tuning in. Insta Joe said Loud gives a great I said Loud again. L Lord
Jesus.
gives his name is Lord, but the way he spells, I always say Loud. My bad. Yo, L, you know I'm talking about you, bro. He gives a great storytelling perspective. Absolutely. Shout out to him. He also hosted last week's episode.
Okay.
Chill Trap says needed another season. Flea Mason says nowadays to be artists and get signed, it's all about who has the best story.
Unfortunately, with the next season, that is nil to none. It's more on budget. That was the issue. That was the huge issue because Boz Furman, the person who produced it, he also did The Great Gatsby with Jay-Z.
Oh, okay.
Don't think he's so used to doing movies. That's why it's so freaking amazing, you know. But no, we got to cut this into series. So when they went back and was like, "Oh, all right, cool." Now for it to be just as dope as it looks, Okay, great. Well, we want this much.
And
And Netflix was like, nah, we good. And then it's like, okay. There's no flinching, with people who do this. They're just like, all right, cool. It is what it is.
Eldad says we gotta find a way to crowdfund
Right?
this. 'Cause it was a great story, man. Like
If I pass that on to Uncle Joe, he would definitely
I man
he
that
would definitely like, yeah, if they front the money, we waited, let's make it work.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, one thing too, which kind of blew my mind, is when the show dropped, was that it grabbed all of this attention across not even just the hip hop community. I would
Oh, yeah.
say, like, everybody in general was just talking about it.
It dropped in Europe first. By the time we got out there, because everybody, it seems like everybody just binge watched it. We're like, yo, and just the energy compared to when it dropped here, and people's like, okay, cool. And we, of course, it's New York, a New Yorkers, we're so critical. So we're like this. Okay. All right.
Yo, we were
Okay.
studying
That
that
didn't happen. Okay. And I'm getting all these text messages like, yo, why you do such a, I'm like, dude, it's fictional characters. It's not that serious. I just think you get the
Got a question. I got a question though, 'cause you worked with Grandmaster Flash. He was there. He was on set with that.
That's who I'm calling Uncle Joe. Yes.
Ah, okay.
We
There
have
we
an
go.
interesting relationship. Well, I'm a
Got
cool
you.
guy.
Got you. That's actually really awesome. Being somebody who loves hip hop, you being with one of the founders, it's just like, it's what was that like when you first met him, by the way? I've never we never spoke about that.
Once again, we have an interesting relationship because this is somebody who's on an absolute mission. Like, when it's been some time since I've been there, and I'm trying to get back there, that tunnel vision. What I mean, you're focused on getting that bike or you're focused on getting that PlayStation 4. Nothing else matters. So his mission with music, it's like, it's not saying that he doesn't see anybody else, but he's like, I gotta show y'all before, God forbid, he leaves. And and I love his work ethic. I really, really appreciate his work ethic, man. And it's just really like, I mean, sure, I was already playing a particular style, but it's like, no, fame. What's the greatest analogy I can say right now? I see most DJs only play 180. So if we draw just drawing a line, just straight 180. Then most people who do leave New York City, that's 360. How do you get to 710, 720, and 1080? And I'm in the cusp. It's kind of weird where I'm at right now. When I mean 720, 1080, the whole being able to captivate the crowd with the mic and the music you play, and being able to tell a story with that. Because some people have not, a lot of DJs I've come across don't play everything.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest hindrance you can definitely have as a DJ slash artist. And that's what I mean by the
When
whole
you
from
say
a 180
artists, do you mean like rappers too, or do you mean like what
I
type of art?
consider DJs artists.
Okay.
We
A hundred. I agree with you. I agree with you.
We are public figures. We are out there influencing, anybody who loves music, because we all, trust me, we all listen to the same stuff. We really, really do. And it should be your duty to study
Absolutely.
music. I'm
Absolutely.
not pushing, or bullying you or anybody else, but I just take it upon myself. If I'm gonna travel, especially out of the country, you think they only listen to rap? That's absurd. For you to go, I mean, they know about it, but why wouldn't they know about pop? Why wouldn't they know about funk, alternative, Caribbean? The list continues on. Like, if I'm in your native country,
You gotta know.
I'm gonna lose horribly if I don't study and take the time out to learn. Like, I've done a crowd, 80% just Indians, Bengali Indians, like Punjabi Indians, rocking out, still playing what we know, everything from Kool and the Gang Celebration to Bruno Mars to their music. If you can't do that, you're not leaving New York City. You're gonna be stuck on your block. And that's just how I feel.
Yeah, it's funny because like I'm going back through some of the comments that we got,
I know
and
the kid. What's up, man?
yeah, shout out to him. And let's see, where do we go? Where do we start? Chill Trav says the Hip Hop Evolution series is the real life version, and then Eldas says France probably had a crazy premiere. Chill Trav says my girl into Disney music and streams the Get Down soundtrack like a musical. Bamboo says Europe loves hip hop.
Oh, what? Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
And
what are your takes about overseas? Like,
I know you was gonna
yeah.
segue
What are your thoughts about like DJing overseas compared to DJing in America? And then I also want to say in New York, because New York, I feel like, is a different ball game.
We're overwhelmingly aggressive. I'm going to put that out there. We as New Yorkers, I can't speak for Philly, can't speak for Jersey and everything like, you know, for the, you know, people around us. But New York, we're critical and we're aggressive. I don't care if it's a male or female, whatever your preference is, we are aggressive as DJs. Now, to take that energy and go anywhere else, as they say, if you can survive in New York, you can survive anywhere else. That I 100% believe. Now, that energy over there, when I'm telling you the way I play, the way you play, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, where have you been? Exactly. So that should be something for you to look forward to, where it's just like, okay, and this is from my experience. You going out there, I'm telling you, stick to, be consistent, do what you do, and you go out there, they're going to be like, yo. Not saying that their DJs are not dope, but dude, you go out there, they're going to be like, yo. We need you to come back out here next time. You gotta leave, you leave that presence on that, man. Traveling and touring, and I just feel like the energy you put in, the energy you'll definitely get back. And the music I study allows me to travel even further. There's so much more to living in New York City. You know, I think something else I'm taking from him, from Flash, you know, his premise in the sense of is like master your I think it's master your block first. Master your block. Then from your block, your neighborhood. Then your neighborhood, your city. Then your city, your state. That's how he thinks, you know, the whole micro to macro management. You know, and it became a bigger deal, you know. And a lot of DJs or even artists don't think that far ahead. Like even when I try my best, because I be honest, my opinion, I gave up on rappers. That's just my whole thing.
How come? Just curious.
They don't listen. I told you, it's just miscommunication. I'm talking about information that's out there, and let me just try to keep this short and sweet. Like for like, because just like it's no different from DJs and rappers, but just for rappers, I want to focus on. Like I understand you want the labels to hear your music, but over the time, individuals like Jay-Z, sure they got all this money, they're telling you, dude, or even a pioneer like Q-Tip is telling you, you don't need the labels. They're like investors. If you can find investors other like Arizona, the beverage, and I constantly drink that, or Oreos and Nabisco to be your investors, that's what you need. We all need money to get stuff done. But that's what the labels are. These are people who don't really care or know about music, and I'm gonna be honest with you, but they hire people, you know, to, you know, this illusion. But it's literally, you know, lawyers, bankers, people with money. So they, you're, what's the word I'm looking for? You're telling them, what's the word I'm looking for? Not encouraging. The word's not coming to me right now. You're telling them, hey, this is my product. And you have to, I'm so mad that this word's not coming to me right now. And you just pretty much have to, now I want to say influence, that's the wrong word I want to use. But in a sense of, you know, oh, why is this escaping me?
I'm guessing you have to be an investment. It's the same way how I would go to a Shark Tank and I would say, this is my product.
Perfect example.
Invest in my
Investor.
product or my service or something.
Tell me why we should mess with you. And this
Exactly.
is what I do. And over time, of course, this is what I do. Plus, this is how people follow my movement. Hence why an individual like Soulja Boy, which has always been a prime example for a lot of people, and his method of coming up with a dance with the song, and people just ran with it. It became a challenge. If you've seen like the Shiggy challenge, and Shiggy himself became even a bigger individual, and the record became bigger than what it was. Because trust me, I didn't enjoy In My Feelings until the actual song came out. That's what really sold it.
Yeah,
That's
and
it.
I feel like with that, even with just that song, if it wasn't for the dance, I don't think that song would have hit the way it hit. Just to go to the chat real quick, Eldai says, "Dean, what was I just telling you? Thank you, fame. He's basically saying you just confirmed what he was thinking. He's on the right track."
Right, no.
You have to find a
And
way to
it's.
show them what. Sorry, he just said you have to find a way to show them what their return on investment would be for
Yes.
banking you.
And that's with anybody. If you, once again, Shark Tank is the perfect example of literally you coming with them, because trust me, I've watched young, even you see a lot of young aspiring DJs. That's a market itself where people are trying to find these prodigies, these male or female DJs that are like only 10 years old, but they get it. They don't know the music yet, but they get it because it's fun to them. Okay, how can mom and dad market this? And I've seen this, and I don't want to put anybody under the bus at this moment, but they see it. They see it, and they know the business enough to go, okay, and take my child, take him out of school, put him in homeschool. Okay, he only DJs. And give him this music. He doesn't know the reason why this music is, you know, big for what it is. He just knows this is a hot record. I'm going to play it. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to the whole rapping thing. What's stopping you from starting with the college market? Why do we neglect that? Mm. I always tell them that. You know, that's one angle. This is gems I always throw out there. Why are you not doing the college radios? Give them their music. And when you give them your music, why do you not have an edited version to it as well?
And that's, I have this thing where I always say, always keep your knives sharp. And that's always being prepared, and that's what winners do. Like, I started listening to E.T. Eric Thomas's podcast.
DJ Crisis, what's up, man? I see you, man. Because that's the young gentleman I'm working with right now. November 10th, we're doing the event in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, November 10th.
Right. Slope Lounge, right. Getting back to it, in a sense of, like, even for the – I spoke to one rapper one time, and which goes back to why I kind of gave up, because you guys don't listen. You feel that you're bigger and you could do whatever. We're talking about – you're talking to me or another DJ. We constantly being fed music. Everything is music around us, and you don't want to take our advice. Like, if a hot song comes out, why do you not have a 16 or 8 bar on that? We're talking about a song like Boot Up came out. Why do you not have an 8 or 16 on it? We can edit. We have all these softwares. We have all this technology where we can loop something. Put your 8 or 16 in front of it. It's still the same song. People are on SoundCloud. People are on Dadpip, whatever the platform is, even if it makes it to the record pool because it's a remix. It's still the same song.
Yeah.
But your verse is on it.
It's a remix. Look at what Jacquees just did. So it hit so hard, they had to delete it off the internet.
Tried to tell me somebody who didn't have the mind of a DJ was like, yo, nah, snatch that song up. And that's what anybody, any artist you could think of right now, they went on the remix. And you're like, yo, why is this better than the original? And you will never play the original again. That's just, and this is stuff that's out. This information is here all the time. It's literally here. You know, for us DJ / producers, that's the hottest record there. Like, the song, I like it because it's cheesy and funny at the same time. It's I Love It with Lil Pump and Kanye West.
That's a hit. That's
yo. A hit. I heard it without seeing the video and was like, that's the record right there.
Yep.
Now, how do I put my spin on it? How do I put my spin on it? And then these other DJs and other artists, you know, or, you know, as I consider them artists, these DJs I've come across. And one, I think his name is Third Letter C on Instagram. Very, very young cat. Shout out to him. And he put Busta Rhymes' Dangerous on that.
Ooh.
When I played it, I'm like, yo, first of all, was he even... he didn't feel when that album dropped. But it's just how it fit on it because it was just like him having fun. He's expressing himself. Hip hop. Nothing wrong right about it.
We got just talking about earlier.
I send music out to people. Like, sure, I have my remixes. I send my stuff out. But the fellow DJ or whoever or wherever the music, I just need music to get out. This is why we use social platform to get our information out there. And for people to go, yo, this is dope. Who made this? And this is how people like Mustard, DJ Mustard, and I'm trying to think of other artists or / DJs have gotten their stuff out. Like, there's another one I follow, and I'm going to shout him out too. Kid the Wiz, not Wiz Kid. Wiz Kid is the African artist.
I know you're talking about Kid the Wiz. He got
wave right now. His wave, and everybody, of course, believes is DJ SNS who made the Love Come Down record. That young gentleman did it. SNS got it and put an artist on it, which I hate that version. Nobody should be rapping on that. That is a beat that's just feel good. And I mean, the way he cut it up, he didn't take less. He didn't put more. It was just enough. And I mean, the floors I've moved where it's two generations meeting each other, especially in Harlem. We're talking about the young kids who want to toe hop and Harlem shake. And then we have the older generation who know the original sample, from my understanding, I think it's Stephanie Mills. And they're still out there rocking with me. People like that you should be concerned about because that he's making his own wave. And that's what you got to do. And that's him expressing it. He's living. He's good.
It's just like that. There's a guy, I think, I forget his name. We talked about him a few episodes ago. It was like Aaron Beaner or something like that. But what he's doing is he's going around with the ukulele and he's going to all of these artists that are out right now and he's creating these songs. He's playing the ukulele as an
Told me about
instrumental to their songs. And it's just like you see
it. And
something
that's his
like that.
niche. And that's his
That's
niche.
his niche. It's a mate. Who would have thought a guy with a ukulele going
So
around with
simple.
rappers would have been hot?
So simple. So simple. Once again, in all these, as I consider them artists, Instagrammers, or whatever the case may be, just angles. What can I do different from the next person? Because once again, we're in a world, and I'm not talking only about New York City. We're overwhelmed by so many things. How can I stand out? And every now and then I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing. That's dope. Keep going. Even for me, mine's is all sporadic, but I'm fun. This is as real as it's going to get. Even for the female DJ, sure, some of them lean towards, all right, I'm a model too. Some of them, I'm a singer too. I'm not knocking it, but in a sense of it does open up avenues. The only thing I stress about is, especially when you're around me, the art of DJing. You can't fake it. Don't get it twisted. There's some males too, like they're photographers as well, but when it comes to this music, we're not supposed to be in the same arena. But once again, this is what they want. And when I mean they, civilians, the crowd, that's what they want. You're in here for a reason.
But then
You're different.
sometimes I got a theory with that, man, and I call them like clout DJs or like, Instagram DJs, and I'm not hating at all, but I just feel like sometimes they're selling the followers, they're selling the clout instead of them actually being a DJ. And it's sometimes, I'm not gonna lie, it's a little bit frustrating as being a DJ and you see all these people out here and you're just like, come on, like where, like do you even practice at home? Like do you even like try to say I want to get better? Or is it just
Well,
because you have that fan base already, you feel like you've already made it? And that's what's frustrating.
I don't think you should be frustrated by that. And I'm speaking to you. Just do you, man. Literally, we get overwhelmed by figuring out what the next person does. It's good to be aware of what they do, but don't do what they do.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is the reason why everybody think, oh, mumble rap is the ish, yada yada yada, and people who are against it, and then all of a sudden, as soon as the door is closed, they're doing it too. Or you're in the party and you're dancing to it. For a person who hates this record so much, but it's the wave because they made it the wave. They believed in it so much. So you as a DJ, once again, I know everybody has their angles, and as this market continuously becomes saturated, there's going to be a point in time, because I always feel things come around
Full
360,
circle,
where people are really going to get weeded out. I've assisted, consulted, individuals that I was under the impression that they DJ, but they don't. Like, they've been in some real, real quote unquote pickles because, sure, let's say you're a photographer and they got you in the door, but oh, by the way, I DJ. And they go, okay, cool. And the client or whoever hired you assumes you're this DJ, however it's being portrayed online, and then all of a sudden you don't have this music. I get those calls. Not to come and take the gigs. I play my position. I don't I play my position. So I help you. I assist you with it, stuff like that. Because and I say what I say to you, and whether you choose to take it or not, but at least you're not robbing the people who hired you of an experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's I feel like that's one of the most important parts of being a DJ is to give people an experience. Like you have one of the most important jobs, whether you're at a club,
What's
you're at
up?
a
What's up? I
wedding.
see y'all in the chat room. What's going
Yo,
on,
what's
man?
going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in. Sorry about the technical difficulties earlier. But one thing is, with these new DJs popping up, I feel like it's a matter of technology, where it's you could become a DJ with $100 now. You could get $100, $150 and become a DJ. And there's nothing wrong with that. I actually love that.
Because we all meet in the center eventually, where we all say, and I've all come across, young or old, we love music. That's pretty much how it comes down to. But it's like, okay, when we start really, really like, how much do you really, really love? Because I tell you, I geek out sometimes where it's kind of overwhelming to some people, like, yo, I don't do it like that, I do appreciate my sleep, or nah, I'm never gonna play that type of music. Well, I'm like, that's selfish. As they consider, just New York, I speak for, is a melting pot, and you only play house. or you only play funk music. Don't get it twisted. There are markets for that. Mm. But don't ask me, yo, how do I travel? And I've already told you. Mm.
And like, one thing I noticed is that you still use turntables. Like, when you show up to the party.
I'm
like,
stubborn. I'm so stubborn.
Oh, you DJ.
Oh, listen, let me tell you.
I love those reactions.
Let me tell you the whole double talk. That whole double talk started in Harlem, man. They got their own wave and whatnot. That's been happening for years. For somebody to start doing it again is hilarious. Oh, you mad, man.
Like, man, Jamaica's been doing that for years, too.
Oh, listen, but no, I do get that. Like, you know, if it's not the whole, you DJ, or you a real DJ, or no, oh, you taking it old school.
Yeah.
It's nothing old about it. I mean, it is as modern as you want it to be. Mm-hmm. We all have our platforms and generations as we go by. This is what we're exposed to. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it was turntables. Yeah. And I just stuck it, you know, my feet. I really planted my feet. It was like, this is going to be here. I don't know anything else. I'm not saying I can't play on other platforms. It's good to know all the platforms. CDJs, CDs, internal mode, controllers. It's good to know it. Because trust me, I've been in some weird situations where stuff don't work.
Yeah.
But so must go on, as they say. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of even commercial or upcoming DJs have been in some very, very sticky situations because they didn't take the time to learn it. Like, oh man, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. Nah, I can't play. So there's no excuse. Mm-hmm. You know, I see opportunity, I'm for it.
Yeah. You know?
That's my hunger, you know?
That goes back to whole, like, keeping your knife sharp that I mentioned
DJ
earlier.
DJ Hear No Evil, what's up, man?
Yeah, it goes back to, like, the whole keeping your knife sharp, like I mentioned earlier. You show up at the gig, and they have turntables there, and there's no way to control your controller, and now it's like, oh, wait, now what do I do? And I can't spin. Or it's the other way around, where you show up with your vinyls and your needles, and they have a controller, and it's like, oh, what do I do? I don't know how to play. Or maybe a CDJ doesn't work and you only have your mixer. Now you have to play internal.
Well, these episodes are always going to happen. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. Mm-hmm. As I've always been on, you know, my thing. And for those who know me, practice makes permanent. Mm-hmm. And I really, really live by it. Where in a sense of you should be prepared. Absolutely. I'm always over prepared. My bag is heavy for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not talking about the bag money. I'm talking about my actual DJ bag because things happen. Yeah, I have to put that out because that whole bag nonsense is it is. If you're getting money, you're getting money. Congrats for you. Stuff like that. Bills have to get paid, you know, but I'm getting the bag. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm always over prepared because I've had cables short out. I've had DJs forget the USB cable that connects to the interface to the rest of the and I'm like, yo, just take mine. It's here. Cool. Because it's not about you anymore. Mm-hmm. I care about the people we're playing for. This is a selfless business, not selfish, selfless business we're in to create this atmosphere, you know, of whether it's gonna be anger or joy or you know, whatever it is, stuff like that. That's the business we are in. It is a business.
Absolutely. Nope. It's still entertainment business at the end of the day. That's why people are hired.
Pretty much how it comes down.
And that's what separates a DJ from the iPod. It's you're booking us for that experience. You're booking us for that enjoyment.
Absolute experience. Because sure, yes, you can get the iPod, you can get the Spotify, you can get the SoundCloud account, stuff like that. But it's something that, you know, as one individual did tell me years ago, DJ Mary Mac, an amazing female DJ I've come across, like, who put me on to Serato when Serato first hit the wave. And it was just about the soul, that energy we put into it. You can't fake it. You really, really, and this is the difference. And this is something that it just can't be filled in when it comes to Spotify and sound. Like, it's already been said. It's done. It's down to two tracks, if you want to put it like that. Compared to an individual behind the set, as they say, quote unquote, reading the crowd, and we're playing real time. And it's like, yo, just the way the music hits you as it should.
Ooh, yeah.
Right. That's the soul in it. And when she said that, I was like, yo, I feel bad. I get it. Absolutely get it.
And that's why, like, I know a lot of people sometimes frown upon the ideas of controllers. They're like, oh, we got these controllers. But I feel like the DJ, turntables, controller, whatever you're using is the instrument. The songs are notes. And it's
as
just
you mentioned,
you can take any instrument and you should be able to play the song. Doesn't matter if it's what type of violin it is, what type of piano, you still should be able to.
Oh, you better work.
And sometimes some are better than others. Like electrical piano is going to do things that a classical piano can't do. So,
Right.
you know, for example, in a controller, you're going to have certain buttons, you're going to have certain knobs. And it's like, why not use it? It might help you do something or create something that you've never been able to do before. It's hard to tone play it with
Yes.
just turntables. You can't just do tone play if you don't have cue points.
Now, I mean, I have my mixed feelings about the whole tone play and stuff like that. I know what it is. And it's weird when somebody comes up to me about that because I've always played by feeling. No, it's the weirdest thing ever. And I think I forgot what venue we're in. I'm not getting a check for it, so I'm not going to mention it. And you know, the DJ, he's next to play and he's like, "Yo, what tone is that?" And I'm like, "What are you talking?" I'm like, "The serrato tone, the triplet tone."
Oh, like the
And you know,
keys, yeah. I know what
the
you're talking about.
keys. And
Yeah,
I'm like, and it literally went over my head, like, because I'm not thinking about that. I've always played by feel. How does this record make you feel? How does this song make you feel right now? Compared to, you know, once again, I have nothing against people who even play with BPMs, but there's some songs that shouldn't be with each other just because they're both 75 or both 95. It's feel. That's where I came from. You know, I was like, okay, he's great. There's some dope. You know, sometimes you'll get a dope remix out of it. You know, depending on who you're playing for, but that's just not me.
No, I 100% agree. Woodley, what's going on? I see you. Thanks for tuning in.
DJ Woodley, what's up? What's up? What's up, man?
No, I 100% agree with what you're saying with that. And you know, every DJ is going to play something different. They're going to think about each song differently. When I say, if I say a song and the way how I think about it, it's not going to be the same way how you think about it. And
Right.
you know, that's what's going to separate all of us from
But
being
it shouldn't
just.
matter. Yeah, it shouldn't matter what device you're using.
Yeah, shouldn't.
Play for them. Play for the people out there. Give
Yeah.
them what they want. You know, come on, give me at least a good transition of three songs, if anything.
Yeah.
Please. Like, you're killing me, man. So
Yeah, and learn your equipment too, man. That's another thing I would say, especially
Oh.
like with these
Oh,
controllers, there's
man.
so much that you could do with them that
There's
people
too much. It's a little overwhelming. Not, you know, and I'm gonna be honest with myself. It's a
Yeah.
little overwhelming sometimes, especially like with the S9. I know what it's capable of.
Oh,
It is
man.
capable of, and but sometimes I'm so, I guess, archaic. Whereas it's like, as long as the fader works, the two channels work, the trim gain works, I'm good. And then the pre-fader listen, which is the cue button, I'm content. But then once again, there's the pads, there's the flanging, there's the reverb, there's the delay, there's the auto loop. I'm like, yo, okay, when do I do work? You know, when do I do something?
I
Because
just
it
found
starts
out
to.
about the slip mode on a controller. I was like, actually, this is kind of cool. Why did I not know about this before?
I'm stuck in my ways. Like even with Serato, when it first came out, before everybody can afford it, and I'm going to use the analogy, just like when people had got Black Ops, you had to wait till Christmas to buy it, and but you had money, so you got it before everybody else. And I got bored with it very, very fast because I'm like, this is it, I'm out of here. And then Traktor came in because that's what I use, came into my life, and it was just doing so much. I was so in the future. It was just so frustrating. Everything from you guys are still waiting to record, you guys are still waiting for cue points to do this and do that. I was like, nah, man, I'm good, man. And just the speed I play at and just the unlimited features in the program. Now all of it's literally on the S9 now for you guys. This is years later. And I'm like, well, I've been doing this for some time and I'm good. It's like, but to do it on the fly and I see people doing beats and it mashups, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's what's up. And that's evolution. That is hip hop.
I love it. I love it. I'm actually gonna wrap it up right there because that was like how we started the episode. Everything is gonna evolve. It's always gonna be an evolution. Nothing's gonna stay stagnant. Nothing's ever gonna stay the
It
same.
can't stay stagnant. Oh my gosh, we literally all kill each other. That's pretty much it, man.
So, yeah, man. But thank you so much for coming on the episode,
No,
DJ
I
Fame.
appreciate it,
Thank you,
man.
man.
I told you it's always difficult for me to stay in one place. For those who know, hashtag fame speed. I run around a lot, man. I
You
really
do.
do.
Yo, y'all gotta follow this man and check him out on Instagram. I watch your stories and your stories are 24 hours out the day. I don't understand
People don't get it. I'm up because it's not even a matter of weird things, because I'm up like hours, like not to keep you this going and stuff like that,
No, you're good. Take your time.
but I am up watching interviews. I am up watching comedy. I'm up anything that can inspire me and influence not only me but you. That's what I'm doing, and I take my time and I share it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm out. The interviews, it could be everything from Oprah to, you know, stand-up comedy, Kevin Hart. Like, all these things to be relevant and to help me with public speech. You know, because I have my moments where I don't want to talk to, you know, anybody, or I'm uncomfortable not being behind a set and conversing.
Yeah.
You know, those savants, it's like, all I do is music. Don't talk to me. Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yeah, I'm about to leave in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, I 100%. I appreciate all of your posts, everything that you, I appreciate you coming on the show. Dropped a lot of gems today, man. Anybody who's just tuning in, or if you're listening, definitely go on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube. Watch this episode back from the beginning, because there was a lot of stuff. Granted, we had some technical difficulties, but that's tech in general.
But it's technology, it's life.
But yeah, anything coming up, or do you want people to find you at? I got your name, DJ Fame.
At DJ Fame BK on Instagram. Of course, the official website, DJFameBK.com. Periscope, The Real DJ Fame. And then, of course, just to keep it simple, this Thursday I will be in Minneapolis, Minnesota with Grandmaster Flash. He's doing a show. Coming back, doing a couple of events. And then November 10th, for those, every Sunday in Brooklyn, every Sunday, even if you come in the Tri-State area, every Sunday we are at Slope Lounge, 837 Union between 6th and 7th Avenue. Brunch from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Me, DJ Crisis. The food is amazing. Slope Lounge. Sounds That's all I have good. To say.
All right. Thanks again for everybody for tuning in. That's a wrap. Quality Time TV.
Peace. Enjoy yourselves.